Now, what I want us to do today, or what I have, I believe the Spirit that I have in mind, one of the things we have been saying again and again is why God gave us prayer, why he gave it to us in the first place. That is the primary thing that we are supposed to do with it. If you read the scriptures, you see the primary thing, this is my own interpretation, is God gave us prayer to be able to birth his will on the earth. That's the primary reason why he gave us prayer. It's not just to solve our problems. You know, I said something to us some time ago. Let me just repeat it briefly. All right? Because I wrote about it in a small exhortation this morning. Or was it yesterday night? So I just fired it again in my mind. So let me just repeat it. Just trying to talk about the reason why God gave us prayer before I go into the main thing that we have for today. Now, how many people remember? Of course, we all remember. No, not how many people. We all remember that there was a time that Lord came to Solomon and told Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? That he asked me for anything that I would do. And then, of course, we know what Solomon asked for. Now, there's something that happens to a lot of us a lot of times. And that is that we think about, what if God shows up today and asks me that same thing and says, what is it that you want me to do for you? The question I want to ask is this: what do you think you are going to ask for? Now, you know, you think about it like that. You think, what are you going to ask for? If God shows up today and says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, what do you think you are going to ask for? A lot of people now say that, okay, you know, wisdom. Well, I ask for wisdom. The truth is that, forget that thing. You can know what you will ask for, but just check what you have been asking for in the last 1 month. That is all. Your prayer point will not change just because God showed up. Are you getting my point? If you have been killing your enemies by prayer, when the Lord says, ask for anything that I should do for you, you say, good. Lord, just kill all my enemies. When they are dead, I'll be able to prosper. How do I know that's what many people ask for? Just go to some churches these days. It's just precisely what you have been thinking of. That is what you are going to ask for. Don't think you'll invent anything to impress him at that particular point in time. You can't. You won't even have the capacity to begin to reason. What is just going to be there, all right, what has been in your heart is the very thing you're just going to ask him for and say, Lord, do this for me. Why am I saying that? I want to just emphasize to us again, the reason why God gave us prayer, all right, is to be able to birth his will on the earth. And what he gave us prayer to do is not to just express anything that we like. You want your enemies to die, then you pray until they die. The question is that, was that what he wanted? If that's not what he wants, you shouldn't make that thing a prayer point. The primary thing that God wants to do, why he gave us prayer, is to birth his will and his kingdom on the earth. And there are two aspects to it. There is a birthing of his kingdom in our personal lives, and there is a birthing of his kingdom around us. And I said to us before, the primary one that we are supposed to focus on is that one that directly concerns us. That's the first thing, to ensure that God's will is done in my life. Let me just say this quickly. Let's not focus on what we need, the material things we want to get. I gave an illustration the other time I was speaking. I think it was last Tuesday or some time ago. That, for example, you are praying, God, give me a husband. And you know you are hot-tempered. Are you getting my point? Am I saying a hot-tempered woman shouldn't marry? I didn't say so. I'm just saying that your prayer point should be more about your temper that's scattering the neighborhood. When they say, this night, what do you want God to do for you? You say, Lord, I want to be like Christ. I want to have control of my spirit. That's the primary prayer point. You say, Lord, I need a job. All right, this suffering. Like when your woman told me the other day, you say, oh God, please find me work. This suffering is too much. All right? So sometimes people will come up with stuff like that. But the same man, he's not trustworthy. If he tells you, I will see you at 9 o'clock, you will not see him till 1 p.m. And then they say, what do you want God to do for you this year? He said, I need a job. God says, listen, that's not it. You have gotten the priorities wrong. You should have focused on the fact that, listen, your character is not Christ-like. So when they say, what should I do for you? You say, Lord, I want to be exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be trustworthy. I want to be a man of my word. I want my yes to be yes and my no to be no. Are you getting my point? I don't want to be somebody that people say, who told you that one? They say, I'm looking for one Chiju. Is one Chijundu? Is there a name like that? Pronounce it properly. Huh? Chijindu. I don't know you. In case you are here, I don't know. The name just came to my mind to use an illustration. And in case you are the one that's behaving like that, then it's a word of knowledge. Do you understand my point? But right now, I don't have you in mind. Okay? So people say that if you're cheating Judas, that said that one. Don't mind him. If he tells you good morning, better go and check outside. It could just be a night, and the boy will be telling you good morning. When you see situations like that, your prayer point should be, it should not be, I want my own financial breakthrough. No. Your prayer point should be, Lord, this bad name is bad. I need to have myself transformed until my words are trustworthy words. This is the reason why God gave us prayer. He now said, what should you do? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added. That is, if you pray the right prayers, other things are what? They are added to us. Okay? So that's just a general thing. That's just an introduction. Let's just bear that in mind. What I want to talk about today is it something along this line, that is about the blessing of the kingdom of God in our lives and, of course, in our environment. Let's see how we use prayer for that. Let's begin from the book of Matthew chapter 26. Okay, now let's start from verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. How do you pronounce that thing? Why are you talking as if you know it? All of us are guessing now. You just answer like, say, you are Hebrew, you were there. And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then he went away a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the time is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. The Lord is good. Now that's from verse 36 to verse 46. There were 11 verses there. Now, why did we read this? I wanted to just bring out something here. That doing the will of God, all right, can be hard. What did I say? That's not loud enough. Now, please, bear that in mind. And quickly, let us read another portion of the scriptures. Just down, we'll back up to chapter 24. Now, what I'm trying to do today is to emphasize to us again that prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started in prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. The Lord is good. You see what I'm trying to say? Of course, if you see at the beginning, the Lord Jesus was praying when he was baptized. That's when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now he was going to the garden, and then he was praying. Sorry, he was going to the cross, and in the garden he stopped over to pray. There is a reason. And that's what I want us to learn. Our focus today is on the issue of prayer as a way by which we walk in the preordained will of God for our lives. Now, let me say what I want to say here. I'm not just talking about, like we said, there's a will of God in which that which is recorded for everybody. I'm speaking specifically now about your life and about my life. God specifically has somebody that he says you should marry. He specifically, all right? There is somewhere specific. You can't just say, I'm leaving Nigeria, I'm going to Europe, just because you feel like it. He has some place specific he wants you to be. The fact is that there is a specific profession he wants you to be in. There is a specific calling as a preacher that he wants you, all right? Ministry he wants you to be in. Even as a teacher or whatever be your own area, there is a specific message he wants you to preach. These things I'm saying is very important. There is a particular company he wants you to start. There is one he wants you to work in. There is a place, there's a street, there is a place where he wants you to live. All of these things are predetermined. What we need to bear in mind again is that the fact that God predetermines those things does not mean they will automatically happen. I want us to understand that. So when we're talking about what is the will of God for my life, listen, there is a specific will which we can find ourselves working in as we pray. That's what we're talking about, the issue of prayer here. I started by emphasizing that why God gave us prayer is not just, let me get what I want. No, that is not the primary thing. Why God gave us prayer is so that we will get what he preordained for us to have. Did you get what I'm trying to say? That's how it is. You know, people don't realize sometimes. You think that you can't outthink God. You think that all these ideas that come to your mind, they are so brilliant. God didn't think about them before. Listen, if he's going to answer them, if it's going to be a blessing to you, it's going to be the idea that he thought about, he planned for you to have. And you have just managed, if I may use that expression, to finally get into the flow by which you can now receive those ideas. Unfortunately, you may think they are your ideas. The fact is that they are not. They are not. Your life as a child of God is well planned. The days of your life, before there was yet any one of them, they were written in his books. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean they come to pass automatically. I want to emphasize that again. It doesn't mean they come to pass automatically. You have to put yourself in a place where it can happen. You have to walk in a manner so that it can happen. The fact that something happened to you yesterday does not mean it is the will of God. I was listening to a man of God preach, and he said something. I like the way he explained it. He's talking about this will of God thing. In fact, he said something that I never heard anybody else apart from myself say, until I heard him say it. That was just about, I listened to him about a week or two ago when he made that statement. He said that, what we experience is the judgment of God, all right? He used the word the decree of God. And what we call the will of God, he said he's the wish of God. That is, he was trying to explain to people that they confuse the two. So that what people experience in life is not always what God wants them to experience. He said there was a man, I think a woman, she suffered a loss, I think a child died or something, a terrible loss in the family. And then, the woman was now, so she, of course, he came to console her. He was a pastor and said that. And then she now said that, well, thank God for the will of God. And she said she saw his face and that he was narrating now. And that she realized that he did not quickly agree. Do you understand? So he said, like, is it not the will of God? He said, ma, what happened is not the will of God. What will we do as a result of it? That one we can make sure it is the will of God. That's why Paul will tell you that this is the will of God, that for you to give thanks in all things. So thanksgiving at that time is the will of God. But it's not necessarily everything that happens that God wanted to happen. Are you getting my point? Listen, when we're talking, like that man was saying, when you hear, like Paul said, in everything give thanks, this is the will of God concerning you. That giving thanks in everything is the will. Do you understand? That is God's desire. That is the thing that he wants to happen. But what happens is his decree. I've explained that before. It is judgment. The thing that putting everything together. Okay, I wanted to make a statement. That actually God gives, he helps us to get the best out of every situation. I was listening to Ken Hagin this morning. Or was it yesterday? He was talking about how people react to things sometimes. That a man was driving on the road. He was praying in the spirit. He was feeling full of the Holy Spirit. And was just praying, giving God thanks, worshiping. You understand? And praying in the spirit. The next thing he knew, that one drunk man ran a red light and jammed in hard on the side. He, like Americans would say, he broadsided him. And almost killed the man, actually. If I said if you saw the car, you wouldn't believe anybody came out of it alive. The car was totally wrecked. So this man came out of it, no scratch on him. Everything was perfect, that as far as he was concerned, except that his car was dead. Then the man went to the pastor who was talking and was whining and complaining. And he said, what is the problem? He said, after all, I was worshiping, I was praying in tongues, I was praising God in the spirit.
Why would God let that happen to him? And this pastor said, for goodness sake, is that how you see it? You couldn't see from the other way, which was what came to your mind. That thank God I was worshiping. The devil wanted to kill me. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the Lord said no. And he said, thus far and no further. And look at it. Am I not here free? He even told him, is your car not insured? He said, yes. His insurance not going to pay? He said, they will. But why should God let that happen? That's what Paul was saying. That, listen, my friend, in everything, do what? Give thanks. It could have been worse. I like what the Bishop Oedipo used to say. That the Lord said to him, if you have lost anything, I am the reason you did not lose everything. He said, so one day they stole his bag. He traveled. Coming back home, his bags got missing. And he began to worship and said, Lord, thank God I am not a thief. I don't know whether you get my point. That it was my bag that was stolen. Somebody else stole it. Ha! What if I was the one stealing other people's bags? It would have been terrible. Father, I thank you that I'm not a thief. I am the one that has property for somebody to steal. You are getting the point here. That is the will of God. I'm trying to use that to explain the fact that God actually, all right, helps us get the best in every situation. But doesn't mean that that thing will have been his perfect will for us. What am I trying to say? The will of God is still something we have to make happen on the earth. If it happened automatically, he wouldn't say, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. We've talked about that before. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize now is that concerning your life and concerning my life, there is something that God wants to do, what bringing the will of God to that area. There is a place where he wants you to go. There is a kind of ministry he wants you to run. It is not every place that your ministry belongs. Once I was traveling abroad, I was going to the U.S. for something. And a friend of mine heard, he said, Banky, are you sure you're coming back? I said, what do you mean, am I coming back? This was years ago. I said, you know I have a ministry to do. He said, oh, God, there's ministry in America. And he was laughing. You know the funny thing, I didn't find it funny, really. I didn't see what was funny in it. Because it is not the fact, of course, there are 300 and something million human beings in the U.S., United States of America, okay, who I can preach to. If I get there, definitely there will be a congregation possibly larger than what I have in Nigeria, in quotes. Because that's just based on the fact that there are more people. Let's even start with that. I said, but you don't understand. It is not just where there are more people. It is that God actually wants you to be somewhere. It's not everywhere where he wants you to be. You don't just move up and down simply because, you know, things are not working. I heard the story of one man of God in Benin those days. He got up and said, he was passing the church for some time. The church was not very big. Now got up and said that, no, this was not what he saw. What he saw was a bigger church. The man telling the story said, when the man started, very anointed young man, he gave him money, paid for the hall they were using. He helped him start stuff. Eventually, the man packed up one day and said, no, this was not what he saw, because the church was just about maybe like 30 people those days. Things were booming, but he had like 30 people in the church after some time. He said, no, the vision he had was for a larger thing. And that man was teaching, he came from my convention then, he was teaching us this thing. So he didn't realize that everything has a process. God looks at tells Abraham, so will your descendants be. Then who did Abraham have? Isaac and Ishmael. And one or two that Keturah gave birth to later. And God said, so will your descendants be. And you're talking millions. How many did Abraham have? Just a handful. So the man was explaining that, listen, what God shows is that end. That process normally doesn't show up much in a vision. I'm not looking at the issue here. He should have prayed. That's what I'm talking about. It is prayer used to handle things. You don't use common sense. The Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding. We're talking about this kingdom of God. When God wants to advance his kingdom, listen, he has to place people strategically in places. He has to place them in businesses. He has to place them in careers. He has to place them in physical locations. He has to place them in the appropriate time. It is not every time that's everybody's time. When Jesus came, even though he was mightily, heavily anointed, go and read the scriptures, don't have time to go through it, he did not preach publicly until John the Baptist had been taken into custody. When they came to him and said, John has been taken into custody, then he got up and began to preach. Which, what does that mean? His ministry had a time. John the Baptist had to end before the Lord Jesus will start. He knew it. We don't all know it. But then it still works out if we walk with him. That's what I want to talk about today. How to pray yourself into walking in the plan of God for your life. It's very important. Why did John the Baptist die? I'll tell you. The reason is clear. He said it clearly. Let me summarize it. My ministry and that of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world must not run together. He made it clear. My duty is to introduce him. Our ministries are not supposed to run together. Most of those disciples of Jesus were first of all disciples of John the Baptist. And Jesus sat after John had told them, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Peter and co said, Brother John, it was nice knowing you. They left immediately. Say, sir, where do you stay? They said, come. And they came and they saw. The Bible says, and they stayed with him because it was late, overnight. They became his friends. They were not the ones baptizing because what they learned from John. Jesus was just following them. They didn't say a word. Then one day they came and said, have you heard what happened? Herod has finally done it too. He has arrested John the Baptist. Once Jesus heard that, he got up and began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that tell you? Their ministries were not supposed to run together. So ministry has timing. Okay, Muti and I today were discussing. I said some of the ministers that we know. You know, it was recently I was listening to the collection of Kenneth Hagin that somebody gave to me. Because there's so many. I've read all of his books. I won't say many. Apart from the devotionals. Let me just say what I'm sure of. I've read all his books I've ever seen or ever heard of. I'm not talking about today. I'm talking stories of like 20 years ago. I had done that. But you know, it's recently just struck me that by the time I was hearing the man Kenneth Hagin for the first time, he had been in ministry for almost 30 years. Okay, Muti and I were talking about it today. The man will be telling you stories of during the war. He was preaching during the Second World War. The first time I heard of Kenneth Hagin was 1985. So almost 40 years. But that is me. The first time I heard of him, almost 40 years. But let's not even talk about that. By the time he became world famous, when people were living there, I was in the 70s. All right? By that time, he had been in ministry for over 30 years. He started Rhema Bible Training Center after he had been in ministry for at least 30 years. I'm not very sure of because the first set of graduates finished around early 70s. And he spent 2 years in school. He had been in ministry for that long. Ministry has phases. Are you getting my point? Ministry has a location. It has a calling, that is, am I a teacher, prophet, apostle, evangelist, or whatever it is? And it has a phase. That's something we must understand. Sometimes we just think that, for those of us who don't know, just get up one day and go and fill a stadium. You know what happened was that, you know, Okemute is doing a program where that's this one. All right? It's her. So I was talking, because of the way God opened the door for him, he had publicity for the program is very good. People listen to it on radio. Some people call him, please, where is he? The Lord. And I said, look, this hall you are using, I hope it will be enough for people, though. He said, well, you know, the man was trying to be conservative when he chose a small hall. He said, well, thank God. Say if it's too small, maybe they stay outside. He said, after all, the first time I did the program, now the two of us come. He said, it was only him and this man. And the first time I did the program, just him and Pastor Faye were there. You did the whole program. Well, information, Pastor Faye did not come to attend. It came with him. It's like, tell me I did a program and only my wife and I were there. What is it? Did she come to attend? Could she have done otherwise? Wouldn't that be family quarrel? So when I was telling me this afternoon, I said, yeah. I said, the first program I did in Enugu, I told you, that new heaven here, had a guest house, I had a restaurant in one guest house here, I had the thing. Let me make a long story short, that third day, were many that did not come. There were only three human beings there that moved. Me, the preacher, organizer, president and founder. The GO, thank you. And then the GO's wife. And then my friend who said, today's bankers program, he ran down. So three of us sat together and I preached with all my energy. When I finished, I said, I'm not doing it again. And after that, I was very smart. I said, lie. You know, the amount of money I spent, I'm not doing it again. I told the apostle, I said, do you know, I even shared flyers in the waiting market. He looked at me, what? I said, yes. After that, I lost faith in flyers. They said, we are doing 10,000 flyers. I'll just do my nose like this. Go and do now. Go and do. It won't bring, flyers don't bring people. It only creates awareness amongst those who already want to come. Yes. If you like, some people say, oh, you design your flyer in Lagos. If you like, carry it to Los Angeles. Go anywhere, design, print it. And I say, fine flyer. They won't even check what it is about. I lost faith. Flyers. That's one of the flyers recently. I had to turn into a tract. If you remember the last one I did. And listen, the fact is this. The only reason why somebody will take the flyer and come, two things. One, okay, let's talk in natural plane. There's spiritual plane, the Holy Spirit moves people, you understand? But on the natural plane, now who know you? Say, so, okay, that's Pastor Banky. All right, let's go and listen to him. If they never heard the name before, no matter what you claim you are preaching, they will not come. I'm not speaking just from theory. I was there. Are you getting my point? There is a season. That's the point I'm trying to make. There is a season. I told Okemute when we were talking, I said, but I thank God for one thing. Okay, what I did that time was that when I realized, I said, I have to preach. We started looking for space to rent a small hall where at least, I know the major reason, to reduce the cost. There was nothing spiritual about it, though. If you think I was thinking about, you know, to become more effective in my life, I don't check the cost of renting a restaurant every time you want to preach. I said, this thing wouldn't work. But if you get a small hall, this is the annual rent, break it to every time you need it, put in your own chairs, everything. I said, it's more reasonable. That was how I came here. So if you think a lot set up, some people, God speaks to them. I appreciate them. So before we're coming to Enugu, the Lord said that when you get there, you see a particular junction. It's called New Heaven Junction. And right above it, there is a hall which I have preserved for thee. Either I don't know how to hear God or he doesn't like talking to me. One of the two. I don't know what happened. All I know is I didn't hear anything like that. What just simply happened was that I did a program, paid for the restaurant. The first day, a number of brethren came to us to encourage me. The second day, they all forgot. The third day, nobody came again. Now I do small calculation. It don't go work. I said, sweetheart, we need to rent a place. Just to reduce the cost. And I started doing teaching on Saturdays. You know why was I in school of prayer? Well, that one, okay, was spiritual, right? It was an inspiration. One day I was praying and I felt strongly in my heart. But once I started having meetings on Mondays, then it was simply because we paid for this place for a whole week. We locked the door from Friday, from Saturday to the next Saturday. I said, no, let's make some use of it. I said, let's preach some more. I said, I announced I'm doing School of Bible Exegesis. It was later on that one day I was praying. The Holy Spirit now inspired me and now said, okay, move it to a School of Prayer. All right, that's when that one began. But initially, the only reason I had a meeting here twice a week was to make full use of the place. I said, how can you pay this amount of money and you are not using it? The Holy Spirit talks to people different way. I'm just telling you the way I arrived at what I was doing. I hope you're getting my point. But now if I do a program in a small hall in any way, it's guaranteed to be full. Printing flyers is besides the point. Just tell enough people. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. I'm not emphasizing the fact that, all right, that these things also come what? In seasons. They have stages, all right? Now, having explained all of this, I just need to emphasize that. The most important thing I kind of wanted to bring out today is the fact that, of course, two things. One, how do you know which one you are, what stage are you in? What are you supposed to be doing? Those are the things we're talking about. And then number two, which is actually the primary thing I had in mind, I want to emphasize the fact that sometimes, even though you are sure of what you're supposed to be doing, even though the Lord gave you a vision and revelation, or sometimes not just vision and revelation, but just the knowledge of truth. Because that's the primary way God leads. It's not through visions and revelation and inspiration and voice of the Holy Spirit here and there. No. The primary way God leads is through the knowledge of truth. You just know what is right and you just know what is wrong. For example, I run a website as Kingdom World Ministries. My messages are there. Everything we do here is we throw them to the website. Somebody told me once when he saw the number of people that visit the site, he said, the guy was working on a technician, computer guy, was working on the website. He said, this look at the traffic. I said, what? He said, we can make some serious money here. So what are you talking about? There's a way you can monetize the traffic on your website. So I told him, will you behave yourself and get away from here? Just do your work and carry your eyes away. He said, okay. My reason is you don't do that. Somebody had told me before, a friend told me that, look, when we started on radio, that to reduce our cost, we could, sell off like 5 minutes because the program was popular, all right? People were tuning in a lot. Very popular program that we could have a way to cut 5 minutes to run adverts and that would generate money to praise the Lord. You understand my point? So I thanked him very much that I would think about it, which was a bit of a lie because I was not planning to think about it. Okay, I was going to think about how I would tell him I don't agree without offending. But as he was saying it, I knew I wasn't going to do anything like that. Now, I don't want to talk about that now, but the truth is that I understood that those were the wrong ways to run a ministry. I am not going to monetize the traffic on the website. I will not do it. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. It's called turning your stones to bread. You have to be careful that you don't turn your stones to bread. It's not every opportunity you lay hold or what's English? Off or on. Okay, some say off. If you say on, it's not every opportunity you take advantage of. At least, are we okay? It's not. It's called turning your stones to bread. All right? Now, so that's the number one way that God leads you. It is the number one way. It's not all these voices. The Lord spoke to me. They didn't speak to me. It is, first of all, just know what is right and what is wrong. Now, this is the point I'm making. Sometimes you know what is right, either because you have a direct revelation from above or because of a knowledge of truth. But it's hard to do what is right. It's hard. The problems are there. Like Jesus Christ, now back to where we began all of this from. The Lord Jesus Christ was here. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to go to the cross. He knew he was supposed to endure the pain. He knew he was supposed to take a lot of suffering. But the truth is that it was not easy. And he actually told the disciples, he said, pray that you do not fall into temptation. I like the way, I think, New Living Translation puts it. He said, get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. That's how the New Living Translation says it. New Century Version says, it said, pray so that you will have strength against temptation. Those are the things I want to bring out here. One says, get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. What am I going to emphasize? The fact is that you need strength not to disobey that which you know is right. You need strength, do you understand? Not to disobey that which is a revelation. Like Paul said that I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Sometimes people are disobedient to the heavenly vision. That is it. Sometimes it's not a heavenly vision. It's just a knowledge of righteousness. Today I was talking because Okemuti and I, we were together for about 2 hours today. So we were chatting a lot. We're talking about ministers and all of that. I said, listen. No, he was asking me that how come he referred to something and somebody that these people started very well. What happened? I said, it depends on what's inside the heart when somebody starts. I said, some people, you say the man used to preach good word. I said, let us assume now. You believe that I preach good word. So you came to listen to me and I was preaching good word. What you do not realize that as I was preaching the good word, I was thinking that eventually this good word will bring out goods. No, I'm not going to say. Good money. If you've not done that for some time, and the money is not flowing, you know what they call temptation? That is what they call what? Temptation. And let me tell you, some temptations, I think that, what is the big deal? Wait till you have 3 children that are going to school, and next week is Monday. That next week, Monday, is when they are resuming. And they have to pay fees. you will know what they call what? Temptation. You know, when you are single and all alone, you can't be much tempted in that area. If you are hungry, you convert it to a fast. How do you persuade three children to fast with you? And their mother too. Those children are going to hate, grow up hating God. Some of you tell your children to fast, please, it's not the will of God. I've heard of parents that will tell it, 6 months old will not suck breast till 12 noon. That's not spirituality, that's madness. That's wicked. No, I'm not. What I'm telling you is not a joke. Not 6 months old, 3 months old baby. You can't suck breast till 12 noon. So the baby wakes up in the morning. First wait, say, something is happening. No. After some time, you know the way babies do it? Nothing. 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 And you know they don't stop. You know the babies will never... Listen, that baby will stop finally when the strength to shout has disappeared. So this woman will endure the crying of a baby from 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning till 12 noon. They say, Madam, why? He's teaching the baby to fast. You should go to hell. The kind of spirit you have to stand and watch it. I won't even say, God, please, I'm coming. Let me go to the toilet. Carry the baby, go to the bed. Quick, quick, take someone and call me. I'm serious. Do you know? Some people do strange things. Let me not leave my message. Let me not leave my message. That's why if you're alone and there's no food, you worship now. Father God, call again. Oh, shalaba. Say, what's happening, man of God? They say, we're on a fast. Don't climb a hill such time, so. But listen, if you're not a mother that can make your child fast like that, and there's no food, how do you that's what they call what? Temptation. Some of these men of God, have mercy. This is the only job he does. You have not given him serious offering. You are saying he should not steal. I'm not saying he should steal, but you should not say he should not steal. If you don't want him to steal, you know what you do? You dip your hand in your pocket and say, man of God, don't steal. That, you know, your money must make statements. Some people sit in their homes and say, what's wrong with this pastor's self? Go to his house and ask him what is wrong. You will understand some of these behaviors. Especially when some that come for prayer, that's the one that ministers, they talk to me sometimes, that is painful. In the name of Jesus, you pray for him. God, go and succeed. God will bless you. And you share the word. The guy comes back to come and tell you, pastor, that prayer worked too. And he gives you testimony when they paid him. And they collected the money. And they said, pastor, God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Enters his car and drives away. And you're looking at him. You know, if you were the angel of God, you are going for that carburetor. That car will not make it past the next junction. I'm telling you. The Lord is good. No, I talk to ministers sometimes. These are the things that some of them face. That day you're telling him God is good. Oh, that prayer. I told you I went somewhere once. One man said, I'm very happy to see you. I said, well, that is good. And look, I've seen people very happy to see me before. Amen. The Lord is good. Some people are very happy to see me. One day, one brother saw my wife. He was so excited. Why was he excited? He said he came to town. He was saying, how will he see Pastor? He now just stumbled into my wife in town. I said, God is good. He did his hand in his pocket. Brother, the $100. I said, please, I was looking for pastor. That's not a good way to be happy to see somebody. Say, you know, this man of God is smiling. That, you know, as a man of God, you like such things. There are two sides to it. One, the word is working. Two, the word is working. Three, the word is working. There are three reasons sides to it. Are you getting my point? One, you know that the word is out there bearing fruit. Two, you know the word is out there bearing fruit in somebody's life. And three, the word is out there also bearing fruit in your life. You know, three things. All of them leading to what? Worship. This brother said he was very happy to see me. Like I said, you're happy to see me. So what happened? He says, I'm seeing you right now. I'm going to obtain two of your CDs from you. It was tapes those days. It was tapes, he said. I just said CD because CD is what we do now. I'm like, Why will I give you two of my CDs that I produce with money? Assume the anointing is free. but the CD is not free. The printing is not free. The packaging is not free.